How's it going? This is Scott Fish.
I have a trading
co-host
problem.
A podcast called
And I'm Brian Harr, and I also have a trading problem.
Ryan McDowell.
Yay,
we don't exactly
everybody.
Go over player values or
We're
dynasty
back.
Trades
it's good
or
to be
potential
back.
Or rankings
Welcome
or mock
to...
drafts. We usually don't
oh, man,
even have guests.
Down session
we just like to talk about
trade
addicts
podcast,
so
a member
that's
of the DLF
you
family.
You can learn about
of
lots
podcasts.
Of different scoring
and
systems.
And yes, every single time,
interesting rules.
I take
settings,
at least a week off.
How to set up your playoffs. How to determine draft order, how to determine rookie auction values, things like that. Stuff that commissioners might be interested in, like rivalries or rolling bankrolls or salary caps. We also answer commissioner questions. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, check us out. It's a pretty good listen.
Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me saying got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win if I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winnings to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict, Russ and Brian are the names. Trade Addicts Pod, let's go.
Things go bad quickly, so be ready for a little bit of a rusty episode. It's going to happen. That's fine. Let's just move on.
Don't worry, bro. I got your back. I got your back.
Yeah, you, man, you're hosting chops that episode. You just might have to take over.
I don't know about that. Your job's a lot tougher than mine is in on this thing. So I don't envy your hosting. I respect your capabilities in that regard for sure. But hey, I can stand in every once in a while when need be.
And we're totally jumping off subject already because I just need to talk about how awesome my co-host is. Speaking of hosting, he's going to be hosting another show. Why don't you tell these wonderful fine people what you're heading into?
Yeah, so if you haven't heard already, I am new co-host over at the Superflex Super Show, also a member of the DLF family of podcasts. Yeah, so that's very exciting news. I'm really excited to be over there with those guys. Great group of guys, and we're kind of doing something pretty big. We're going to 5 days a week. We're gonna have content released 5 days a week. So that's gonna be a challenge, but also a very cool opportunity. And we hope that the listeners respond. That should be fun over there.
Yeah, John told me this was going to happen. He told me you were going to be on, and after I was done cheering and saying how awesome that was, I immediately got exhausted at the idea of 5 days of content. My job here is to just start rambling and start talking and not stop talking so there's no dead air, and I cannot do that much talking. Now, I understand you're not doing like the hour and a half shows every day like we end up pulling here sometimes.
Right.
But still, man, that's a lot of talking, but that's still so awesome. Congrats, man.
Thanks.
I'm super excited about all of that for all of you. That's so
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, man. Thank you. No, I appreciate it. And, you know, those guys over there are some of the best guys around. I mean, you and I both, I think, feel that way about them. And, to jump in there, I'm really excited, but I'm really excited about tonight too, and getting back to doing what we do hopefully our breaks are over for the most part. I think we have a pretty good window here, hopefully, of a stretch run. So I'm looking forward to that and looking forward to talking some trades for sure.
Yeah, August is rough for me. I made the terrible decision of getting married before I was really a football fan and getting married on August 26th. So, you know, we end up on vacation, you know, or, you know, that's like a week where it's just like, all right, wife time, and it's like every redraft league wants to have their draft that week, and it's just like, you know, the well, it's not 2 years we've been doing this, but the full year that's encompassed to August 26th, I've taken off for recording. Yeah. And just, yeah, my bad, guys. My bad, preemptive my bad before I knew what the hell I was doing. And let's be honest, it's not like I had a choice of when I was getting married anyway.
Like most of us, we're told when we're yep. getting married. So,
but yes, it is awesome to be back. I have been super excited about just getting back behind this microphone and staring at that ugly Steelers hat again.
Woo!
Actually, I'm using that state hat. I just changed it a little bit because that's what you're wearing.
Yeah, I switched it up tonight. I got Juju on, the Juju jersey, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Steelers hat. I'm ready to go. It's week one, baby. We're this is it. I mean, there is legitimate, real NFL football that counts 2 days from the time we're recording this. So I'm pumped.
So let's jump in to the news.
Here's the news.
And this is like news. Like, I feel like I need to just, as soon as we're done, throw this up on and post it so we could actually feel like we're breaking news. First, let's start with Jared Goff, because we know that for sure right now. Goff got paid a lot of money.
Yeah, Goff got paid. He got legit paid. I believe most guaranteed money ever in the league.
He said like 110, I think it was.
Yeah, so the extension is a 4-year extension, $134 million. And it'll keep him in LA through 2024, and $110 million of that is guaranteed. So, good for him. I mean, that's holy smokes. I mean, the Rams, that's a heck of a, they lock up their quote unquote franchise quarterback for the next 6 years and, or 5 years, I guess. And, through the move to, oh no, they're not moving. They already moved. What am I talking about?
You're thinking of the Raiders.
Yes, I'm thinking of the Raiders. The opening of the stadium, though. They're building that new stadium, and he'll be there to spearhead that team. And the thing I like
about thinking about this, because I like Jared Goff. He's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but is he worth all right, if he's worth that, we can't really get down that rabbit hole, because you have to pay quarterbacks. That's what you have to do. They made it to the Super Bowl, so they're going to have to pay him his money. Does this any way affect how you view him in Dynasty? Like, does this change your rankings at all?
I mean, I probably had him ranked higher than most anyways. I guess if anything, for me, it solidifies that the Rams believe that he can be the guy. Look, if Sean McVay thinks that Jared Goff can run his offense and be his quarterback for the next X number of years, then, I mean, who am I to, I mean, the guy's a genius on the offensive side of the ball. We've seen it. So if he believes in Goff and believes he can get the job done, who am I to say differently? You know what I mean? I mean, I guess for me, it does make me feel a little bit better about Jared Goff. Overall, they would not have paid him $110 million guaranteed money if they didn't feel confident that he could be the quarterback that leads them back to the Super Bowl and finally over the hump. So yeah, I mean, in that regard, I guess I feel a little bit better about it. I don't know how much of a bump he gets in terms of jumping other guys per se, but I think it solidifies him. You know, he's an elite young quarterback with a huge contract tied to a genius offensive coach for the next 5 years. So, I mean, that's what's not to like about that.
August Superflex DLF ADP has him as QB10.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm looking around, and that seems right.
Does it? I'm trying to pull up who's in front of him. So read me who's in front of him.
All right. Well, Mahomes, mm-hmm. Rodgers, Watson, Baker, Wentz. Oh, Wentz made it to top five. It's good. Russell Wilson, Cam Newton, Matt Ryan, Andrew Luck. Sorry, Brian, and Jared Goff.
Yeah, Andrew.
So technically, he's QB9. Sorry, Brian.
I'm going to cry.
we'll talk about it later. I was going to let you just go for a little bit when we got there. But
yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's really it's really tough. I mean, he's the second youngest, I think, or third youngest in that group behind Mahomes and Watson. You know, I don't know.
I mean, I can't put him ahead of Ryan or Newton. I mean, like, honestly, and this is going to, I mean, I'm terrified of Russell Wilson. I don't own him anywhere. Like, redraft, dynasty, I own zero shares of Russell Wilson. I still think I keep him above Jared Goff just because no matter what, Wilson seems to do good things.
Yeah.
And it's not to say Goff can't continue to improve because, you know, clearly he absolutely can and most likely will, because we also are forgetting, like you said, A, how young he is, B, it's still a new-ish system and they've been going through a lot of injuries, which sort of hamstrings their learning. Nice. Hamstring injury. Awesome. I wish I meant to do that. Okay, but let's go afterwards. Kyler Murray, Dak Prescott, Lamar Jackson, Jameis Winston, Kirk Cousins. Any of them should be above Jared Goff? No, right? No,
not in my opinion.
Yeah, right. So I guess that's the perfect spot for him. Okay, so Jared Goff got paid. Good for him. Congratulations, buddy. Maybe go learn which direction the sun rises and sets. And I have been stalling like a mofo and refreshing Twitter.
Yeah.
Pause.
Me too.
We have seen unofficial tweets that Zeke has signed, what was it again? 4 years, 60?
5 years, 90 was. So there was a report earlier in the day, I think Mike Florio, which, you know, I mean, I don't know if how you feel about him, depending on, you know, depending on how you feel about him and his accuracy. But that was the report earlier, was potentially five or six years. I think it was actually 6 years. 6 years, $90 million. But no details as far as like the guaranteed money or anything. And it's not, it hasn't, I can't find anything that says it's absolutely official yet or the details. I mean, Shefty hasn't reported it, so
yeah, so it's not real. You found that one guy who said, I'm not speculating, I'm reporting,
but yeah,
I think that seems way too cocky for me to believe him anyway.
yeah. Charles Robinson, I think, was the name on Yahoo, that was reporting that, but, yeah, it's really tough to tell. I haven't seen anything that really has officially announced it or anything. But we're definitely hitting refresh for the next hour or so, and hopefully it breaks during the show. That would be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. Like I was saying to Brian before we started recording, that I'm just gonna like stop and just post this so we could be like, hey, breaking news, we got it, guys.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, the time it takes for us to upload it, you know, everyone will learn on Twitter anyway.
Sure.
Damn Twitter breaking our news breaking. Damn it. Okay. So let's just do it. Andrew Luck retired. Now, let's set the scene. I am waking up from a wonderful nap in my hotel room in Cancun. Shades are open. I have beach waves from my back to the glass door view. I wake up. I stretch. I'm feeling good about myself. Let me, my wife's still asleep, but let me pick up my phone.
7,000 messages.
We have a group me chat for every single league we're in. So I open group me and the entire screen of the list of the chats, all of them have, like you were saying, at least 10 plus. And it's just like, what's going on? And then a lot of them, you just see, and it goes on the screen. So I click and I just see the words Andrew Luck retired. I'm just like, bullshit, what? And then, so of course I don't check other chats. I go straight to the source. I go to Twitter and I'm like, oh man, Andrew Luck retired. I mean, yeah, all right, let's get the obvious out of the way. If you're an ass about this, you're wrong. Seriously, the dude needs to do what's good for his health, his family, and all of that. If you're being a jerk about it, you're a jerk. The people that booed him, let's just hope the emotion overwhelmed them and that they feel like asses now.
Yes.
Because,
yeah,
clearly that dude's health never seemed right. And there was a quote from Gronk the other day about how football, thinking of football, brings him back to like dark times in his life and how hard that was on him mentally. So like, I don't think he's coming back. Like with all of it's just my brain is exploding. I mean, you're the Andrew Luck guy here, even though he was my QB too. So why don't you just get some feelings out?
Yeah, I mean, luckily I've had some time to digest the news and whatnot. But, I mean, just horrible news. I mean, we're talking about one of the best quarterbacks in the game currently, you know, when he's healthy, obviously. And he's retiring in his prime. I mean, it sucks. And it sucks that, you know, that the game has mentally beat him down that way. I mean, if you're, again, it's just like you said, if you're someone who is upset with him about this, I mean, you really need to check your priorities. I mean, this dude's got to do what is best for him and his health and his family and all of that, you know? I mean, and more of these guys too, right? I mean, I think you're seeing a shift in the league overall, more, you know, health and mental health and well-being and love of the game and all of this stuff is starting to be a lot more important to the players than just, I'm going to put my head down and, you know, do whatever they tell me to do and this and that and the other thing. You know, I think physical and mental health are so important and are more, the emphasis seems to be on them more so now than it ever has in the league. And good for Andrew Luck. I mean, good for him for having enough courage to say, hey, you know, this isn't the best for me right now. And I know it's probably going to disappoint a lot of people, but I got to do what's best for me. And he did, and he should. And here's the other thing. And I did say this on the Super Show the other day. If Colts fans want to be pissed at Ryan Grigson. You know, be pissed at the Colts management that was in there when they drafted Andrew Luck. You know, I mean, for the first several years of his career, up until essentially last year, Andrew Luck played behind junk offensive lines, junk. And he got the shit kicked out of him. I mean, what, you know, so if you want to be mad at him, you know, be mad at the GM, be mad at ownership for not prioritizing their franchise quarterback and making it a priority to protect them. So
hey, they got him Philip Dorsett. They were helping their quarterback.
Andrew Luck could throw to Limus Swede and probably turn him into something.
A little bit of bitterness behind that Limus Swede.
Yeah, there definitely was. but seriously, I mean, I think he made guys like Chester Rogers and you know, guys like that somewhat relevant. Ryan Grant, you know, I mean, there's been players that Andrew Luck has he could have been throwing to below average wide receivers in the league, and they still would have been somewhat successful if they could have kept him upright, you know, but they couldn't. And he got beat up and he got tired of being in that cycle, just like he said, and he retired. And again, it's sad for all of us as consumers of the NFL product and watching the games. I mean, he was a lot of fun to watch. I used to love watching the videos where he was mic'd up and he would, you know, he'd get sacked and he'd be congratulating the defensive tackle. Yeah. Oh, that was a great hit, you know, stuff like that. I mean, I love that stuff. That's the part of the game that I love the most is seeing the inner workings of the relationships of the game. And Andrew Luck was one of the more fun guys to watch in that regard. So it's a shame that we're not going to get that guy anymore and get a chance to watch him play football, cause he was an unbelievable talent on the field too. So definitely sucks, as a fan, but I'm happy for him. I'm happy that he did what he felt is right. So.
All right. So let's get to where we should be talking about this. Let's start on the actual Andrew Luck side. We know you have him on some rosters. I have him on some rosters.
Yep.
Did he survive your roster cutdowns?
Yes.
How long do you plan on holding him for?
At least until the beginning of the 2020 season.
I was about to say, like, roster cuts of next year. I think that's... If week one comes around and he's still not playing, I'll drop him. But I feel like especially at a quarterback where you don't need as much stamina, I guess, like as the rest of the positions, where you could just be like, all right, I'm ready. Mm-hmm. And you'll get it in a week of practice and start playing. I'm holding him. I'm not dropping him. Would you trade him away at all right now? Like if someone threw a second at you, a 2020 second, would you trade away Andrew Luck?
Nope.
Yeah, I don't even know. Like at here, that here's, point,
here's why. So a 2020 second, and look, I wouldn't blame people for doing that if they believe that he is retired and never coming back. And if they have other options and they just are like, hey, I'm not going to sit on him for a year, you know, or if they have shallow rosters or something like that. For me, though, I mean, again, we're not talking about a mid-range starter in the league. We're talking about, for me and for you, he was a top two quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the best two or three quarterbacks in the entire NFL, and he's only 29 years old. Now, do I think that he could be one of these guys that retires early and sticks to his word and decide? Absolutely. And I think it's probably likely. But if he walks in the door again, I mean, what's his value? Immediately. Two plus firsts instantaneously. So I'd rather sit on him at least for a year and see. You know, if he takes a year off, maybe mentally he feels like he's in a much better place, something like that. He decides to come back and give it a whirl, then I'm right. I mean, he's an every week QB1, period. Mm-hmm. So a second round pick, you know, now if somebody came and offered me a first, I'd probably do it. But okay, I don't think I would do it for a second, at least for a little while.
Yeah, I guess, you know, you have that championship team. And, you know, you don't really care about your first. You throw a why the hell not just in case he comes back. You know, you'll beef up that roster to no ends by getting an Andrew Luck for next to nothing.
Right. I really am frustrated with myself. I have a league where it's a super flex league where he was just moved for a fourth round pick. And I basically smashed my face off on my desk when I didn't think about it. Because I would have paid probably a second, you know, just at the off chance he does come back. But
yeah, especially if your team is bad and if you're in a rebuilding kind of phase, or if you're just, you're not going to make it into the playoffs, if you have an early third, a late second, I mean, I feel like there's just as much of a chance of Andrew Luck coming back at all than that pick actually giving you any production at all in the next few years. So you might as well get the chance at having literally the number one quarterback. I am glad I haven't gotten any offers because I don't have to make the decision.
Right. I'm with you. Yeah, either way, it's a tough decision to make, you know?
Yeah, I am so very glad that I just realized. Well, I haven't traded at X5, and thankfully, I also have Kirk Cousins and Lamar Jackson, so I still feel okay about that team. The week before I went away, before, you know, Luck retired, I traded him to Bobby Koch in a league, and it was a really good trade too. It was super fair. You know, he wanted Luck. I completely forgot what it was. I got Matt Ryan and a good wide receiver because I am in a super rebuild. I have five firsts in that league now. That's going to be a fun one. I love slow rebuilds just because it looks awesome to see like five firsts when you hit that trade button.
Yeah, no doubt.
But it's just like, I felt so bad. I'm not going to reverse the trade or anything, but I'm like, sorry, Bobby. one of those, it is what it is. But okay, we're rambling a little too long. Let's get to the other side of this.
Yes.
Jacoby Brissett. Mm-hmm. Thoughts?
I'm really struggling with it because, you know, I don't think he's like, I think he's probably And in all fairness, I've been discussing this all day with the guys on the Super Show and with a couple other guys on Twitter. I mean, I've been back and forth with a bunch of people on this today. And I think, you know, I think he's probably more in that bridge quarterback, you know, type of, I mean, he's not old. He's young. He's still young. He's like
26.
Yeah. So mid 20s. I mean, so it's not like but I also don't think he's a franchise quarterback. I mean, I think Indy is likely to probably look for a quarterback in the draft next year. Maybe one they can develop, maybe not one that's, you know, coming in and starting day one, but somebody that they can get in the second or third round and then kind of bring him slowly behind Brissett or, you know, and the other guy that we are talking about here is Chad Kelly, who suspended, I believe, for the first four games of the season. But, you know, I mean, that kid's pretty talented. I don't know. I mean, he was the last pick of the draft. He was Mr. Irrelevant the year that he was drafted. You know, so, I mean, obviously, I think he probably would have gone higher if it wasn't for the off the field stuff and the immaturity and those types of things. You know, he has some talent. He showed that at Ole Miss. I mean, he was a pretty good quarterback in college. I don't know if that translates to the NFL. I'm not sure. I know some people believe for sure that, you know, and here's the other thing. It depends on the price, right? I mean, if he's on your waivers right now and you need a quarterback, I'd pick him up.
What did you put in a waiver ad for him in Scott Fishbowl?
I did not.
I did. It runs tomorrow, so I guess we'll see. I don't want to
For Chad Kelly or for Brissett?
Oh no, Brissett. Sorry.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. See, Brissett is going to start and play this year. I mean, I think that's pretty. You know, I think that's pretty set in stone.
I traded a quarter fab budget for Chad Kelly. In a league,
I'd have done that. I think.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Again, it's the I did it, you know, with Bobby that same league where I'm rebuilding because I figured why not in case Brissett just screws the pooch,
right?
But let's talk about Brissett for a second because I mean Chad Kelly, if you have the roster spot, why the hell not? In 2017, behind the trash of an offensive line that got Gluck killed and forced him to retire, with the first game of the season scoring 2.55 points, he still averaged 15.5 points per game Trade Addicts League scoring. So that's 4-point touchdowns. That's solid QB2, right? I mean, I'm way too lazy to pull up, you know, the actual rankings he had, but I would feel okay with that probably as my QB3, to be honest, if I really wanted to win. But like if I'm stacked everywhere else, if I'm one of those late round QB people in Superflex, which scares the crap out of me, I would be okay with him as my second QB. Plus, with a better offensive line, assuming that you hope professional players get better as they go along, better receivers, better line, better. I was about to say better running game, but I'm not going to remember who the hell their running back was. 2-3.
Bro, my mind is blown.
Okay.
So I looked it up.
Okay.
QB21.
He's a QB2. I mean, that's not great to be. 2017 was the big quarterback wide receiver year. That's why
he finished ahead of Eli Manning.
You could have finished ahead of Eli Manning.
Jameis Winston, Joe Flacco, Cutler was still in the league.
Yeah, if this were last year, he would have finished QB21.
Gosh, that's crazy.
I mean, that's kind of, you need that in a Superflex league.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like you're giving up a late first for him, right?
Oh, absolutely.
You need a quarterback? Oh,
yes. I mean, here's the thing, and I'm you know, I think you feel the same way about this. In a Superflex league, if there's a starting quarterback, it's a first. I mean, period.
With a few exceptions, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean,
I'm not giving a first for Eli Manning. I'm not giving a first for Joe Flacco. you probably need to give a first for Joe Flacco, but I'm just not doing it.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. I mean, I understand that. I understand I'm not giving that for him. At the same time, you're not giving him away for less than that, though, either, are you?
Yeah, absolutely not.
He's worth more. They're worth more on your team as a backup in case something happens to your quarterback.
Away, which is why I'm getting Brissett and Scott Fishbowl.
Right.
Take that, people in my division. It's been so long, I don't even remember who's in my division anymore. How bad is that? I guess it's not bad. It's just, that's what happens when you draft a redraft in July, in the beginning of July.
Right. Oh, okay, look at this. I have Andrew Luck in the fishbowl. I'm dead.
You should probably go put that waiver claim in.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good idea.
You can have full budget? Might have to.
Yeah, I got to see what other quarterbacks are out here. Just to make sure.
So, yeah. I haven't actually put any offers out for Brissett, but someone offered me Brissett in Trade Addicts 5, and I probably should have done it, but it was one of my, nah, bro, that's why I have three quarterbacks kind of things already.
Right.
I think I might go back and look into it and try and see if I can pull that trade to see what he actually wanted. Because it's a smart move, because he is a mobile quarterback. Like, I remember when the Patriots drafted him, we were just kind of like, what? Well, that's different. And again, behind that crap of an offensive line, if he was running, it was for his life. Now, they might be able to design a little bit. They might be able to use it to their advantage, bootlegs and all of that stuff, which, I mean, Luck did a little bit on his own. But yeah, that dude was a lumberjack. Brissett's a bit, we'll call him more athletic than Andrew Luck, running wise. And if you're selling, I mean, like we said, that you should absolutely be spending a late first, you do not sell him for less than a first. Get back something that starts. Like, this is super flex. If it's a starting quarterback, he has value. He is starting for at least this year.
Right.
Like, the trash he would have to show on the field to get pulled is ridiculous. So I think he is a safe starter for this season. But let's move on. These next two we can do somewhat quickly. Gio Bernard got an extension. This hurts my soul because I have so many Travion Williams shares saying he's going to be the Gio next year, because this was Gio's last year and then this happens. And plus, I was happy for Gio to go somewhere where he might actually get more usage behind Joe Mixon.
Mm-hmm.
So this just makes me sad, and that's why I needed to say it out loud, because I need to share my feelings with everybody.
It's good to get the feelings out. I mean, that's
have any feelings. Oh, and Rodney Anderson tore his freaking ACL again.
Just brutal. Yeah.
Do you have any feelings about the Cincinnati backfield?
Yeah, Joe Mixon. Go get him.
moving on, Lamar Miller tore his ACL, which sucks.
Yes.
Hashtag free Duke is officially for reals. I mean, yeah, there's no one else on that team.
So
we
were
going nuts over. Larry, I'm going to finish. We were going nuts over like Demario Crockett and Karan Higdon and all of that, and they didn't survive cut day.
Yeah.
What else is on their team right now? Did they sign Hyde, or was that just rumors? They did.
Yeah, they signed him. So that's
Hyde, RB15, baby.
I was just gonna say. Your hot take or bold take or whatever from the episodes, that was it may actually happen. It's just not gonna happen with the team you were thinking it was gonna happen with. So, it's frustrating for Miller, of course.
I have him on a lot of teams too. He's my safe RB3.
Yeah.
And he's not safe anymore.
No, not anymore. And I'm really frustrated by it too, because I'm frustrated. I was super pumped about, I mean, I wasn't pumped that he got hurt, but I was excited for Duke Johnson, to finally get a chance to show what he can do as the main weapon in an offense out of the backfield. And then they go and sign Carlos Hyde and muddle things up some more. So I'm hoping that Duke gets a chance to really show what he can do finally, but we'll see what Duke happens.
Shouldn't be a 70% back. I mean, I'm fine with that. Like, I like it for both of them.
But why do you... Okay, so let me ask you a question about that. Why do you say that? Why do you say that Duke shouldn't
be... seven concussions already.
Does he really?
He had a lot in Miami.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
He's never really gotten hurt, but, and he's not small, but I mean, it's tough to say if it was bad coaching or if he just never showed what he had would it take, that he just kept getting supplanted by not great running backs. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Nick Chubb's not his fault. I mean, that's Nick Chubb, but Isaiah Crowell and one of the Tates that I can't remember his first name anymore. Like, there's just so many people that like just stepped around him and stole touches that, I mean, maybe it's like one of those Lamar Miller things where maybe he's just not meant to have a full workload, which is fine because he's awesome when he has the ball and he deserves more than he got and was clearly going to get in Cleveland. So this is clearly still for Duke Johnson for me.
Yeah, so I'm just looking. I'm looking at Duke's injury history. He does have one severe concussion in 2015 in the preseason. He had a severe concussion. That was his rookie season. He also has not. He hasn't. I don't think he's missed a game.
If he has, it's like one or two. But yeah, he has not. Definitely recently, he hasn't missed any.
So now he also hasn't played a ton in some games. But he hasn't missed a lot, but I just, you know, the reason I asked, a lot of people were worried about his size, right? 5'9", 210. And I think, that's Christian McCaffrey last year before he
rule. Right. Has a rule of being 220 pounds. I'll forgive him that 10 pounds.
Yeah. Well, Alvin Kamara isn't 220. Christian McCaffrey isn't 220. I mean, all the backs that are superstars.
Yeah, but when you have the BMI of, you know, a body fat index of zero of Christian McCaffrey, then it doesn't matter how much you weigh. Yeah. Like, he just hulks the hell out.
Yeah. So, but yeah, hopefully Duke will get a chance to show what he can do. No, I think his skill set fits in that offense really well.
Perfectly, and especially because they did just get Kenny Stills, which was really good for their team, especially with the health of the rest of their receivers. But you could absolutely see Duke Johnson getting a lot of work in the passing game.
Yeah, for sure.
Very excited. I love the Texans offense. And Hopkins is just going to eat because, two of their tight ends are now on the IR?
Yeah. Yep.
Whoops. All right, but let's move on. This one makes me sad also. N'Keal Harry caught the Foxborough flu.
Yep.
He is getting put on the IR for an ankle issue. There is already reports saying that, you know, he might hit that designated to return. So he'll be out 8 weeks. This is probably letting him rest and learn from just play-wise of Josh Gordon until we learn that he's going to end up being suspended for another 3 years because the NFL has no idea what the hell's going on with Josh Gordon. So, you know, this will tie in a little later when we have a listener question, but I am all over buying N'Keal Harry if anyone is dumb enough to be selling him cheap right now because of this. This is Dynasty, baby. Half a season shouldn't really mess with your valuation too much, especially on a team that has a lot of wide receivers that tend to miss games, as the Patriots do.
Yeah, I'm with you here. I think if you can, you know, this is probably the best receiver of this class. And if you can go out and get him at a discount right now, I think that's a smart move, no doubt about it. I think the other thing that happens in this offense is we go back to seeing the old New England Patriots. It's going to be a super heavy dose of Julian Edelman. It's going to be a super heavy dose of James White. James White, I think, probably benefits from some of this.
Yeah, he's really more than his way on to getting back to those 120 targets, which we thought there was no way of happening.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I really like that as well. And here's the other thing. So if you have an open roster spot at the back end of your bench, you might want to go pick Gronk up. I'm just saying.
No.
I'm just saying.
No.
So don't, here's...
No.
Okay, so let me...
No, go ahead. I'll go.
I'd rather waste a roster spot. Listen, I'd rather waste a roster spot on Rob Gronkowski than I would on Josh Gordon. I will say it every day.
That is not where I thought you were going to go with that. I greatly disagree with that. I mean, at least Josh Gordon should get you points for now. I mean, if I have the risk of 0 points, which it runs very high with both of them, I might as well get some points while I can.
Yeah. So here's what's going to happen. I'm either going to be absolutely brutally wrong on Josh Gordon, and he's going to be Randy Moss, and he's going to be the best receiver that the Patriots have had in since Randy Moss. Boy, can I really say that with Julian Edelman sitting there? I mean, that's tough, right? I mean, he's a Hall of Famer. That was a joke, guys. I'm totally not on board the Julian Edelman Hall of
Famer. As long as possible to let that land.
No, but on a serious note, I'm either going to miss this really bad and Josh Gordon's going to come back and prove me wrong and it's going to be amazing. Here's the problem. Okay? Here's the problem. I mean, people are expecting Josh Gordon to do what he did in 2013. 2013, 6 years ago.
That's so crazy to think.
6 years. Sorry, but it's not going to happen. And that's if he can stay clean. Like, fool me once is what it is, right? What's that saying anyway? I should know that shit, but I don't. What's that saying? Fool me once, shame on me. Shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me, or something like that. Well, fool me 8 freaking times. I mean, the guy has not played a full season since 2013 because he can't get it right. And again, I say this every time we talk about Josh Gordon. I hope like hell he does. I really do. I hope his life is in order now. I hope he's on the straight and narrow, and I hope he has a support system in place to keep him focused and motivated and away from whatever it is that has been keeping him out of the league and plaguing his life. I really do. I'm rooting for the kid. I have zero confidence he can stay, though. I have zero confidence. I'm sorry. I'm not touching Josh Gordon with a 10-foot pole. I don't think there's any shot that he makes it the whole season. I hope I'm wrong, but I just don't. I'm sorry. I've been fooled too many times, and I'd rather take a chance on Rob Gronkowski coming back to the same offense as one of the best pass catchers they've ever had, period, at any position, with his quarterback that is a really good friend of his. They start falling behind or they start making a run and it's week 10 and they're like, hey, come on in. You know, Rob, you're feeling great. You've been on the CBD oil. You're doing good. Come on in. We'll give you we'll give you another X million dollars. I mean, I would take the chance if I had a roster spot and could sit on it. I would take the chance on Rob Gronkowski over Josh Gordon. I know that's crazy, and people are going to probably rip me apart on Twitter when they hear this. I just have zero confidence that Josh Gordon is ever going to be able to sustain a full season worth of staying out of trouble. Again, I hope I'm wrong. I just don't think there's any chance.
All right. Well, that is a spicy enough take, as the beautiful J-Mike likes to say, to just move on from that.
Yeah.
That's as much news as I really care to talk about. So,
sure.
Trade Addicts Trades?
Trade Addicts Trades!
We have two, and they are both Trade Addicts 3. Trade Addicts Leagues, 12-team, Superflex, PPR, tight end premium, 1.75. And 0.05 points per return yard. This first one, actually, let's do the easier one first. Mm-hmm. James Conner and a 2021 first for two 2020 firsts and two 2020 seconds. I said easy, but that was very difficult to say. Mm-hmm. All right, let's just do this. How many 2020 firsts is James Conner worth to you?
Two
clearly
plus.
More than one. Now,
two, probably.
We have zero idea where these are because I'm way too lazy to look up what teams they were, where they finished, and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So James Conner is worth two 2021 firsts. Mm-hmm. Cross that out.
Mm-hmm. So two 2021
first.
Yep.
For two 2020 seconds. That sounds about right, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Good trade, guys.
Yeah, I think it's a good trade. I think it's fair. I think I'd probably would lean on the Conner side.
Just to get the player.
Just to get the player. And yeah, and I mean, you're probably more likely to hit on a first than you are on a second, I guess. Like if you're comparing the 2020 first to the two 2020 seconds, especially not knowing where they are, you know for sure that the 2020 first is 1 through 12, right? In the 12 team league. So, and obviously the Trade Addicts leagues are. So you don't know where those seconds are. It could be the 13th pick or it could be the 24th pick. And that's a big difference. Yeah,
but you also know for sure that the 2021 first is 2 years away. Now, clearly, what always makes it difficult that we can't necessarily work into our evaluations of this is chances are these picks are not being used by these people. Mm-hmm. What we have to try and do is use Swag's favorite saying in a vacuum, you know, the value of the trade itself. And to me, this is completely perfect. You know,
yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I think it's, I do too. I agree.
All right. So let's get to the crazy one.
Yeah.
Todd Gurley, Larry Fitzgerald, Emmanuel Sanders for Kyler Murray, Tyler Lockett, and a 2021 third. Now, I've been staring at this, first of all, because I'm like, all right, what can I do to go grab Kyler Murray? Because I want one share somewhere. Mm-hmm. And my Trade Addicts 3 team kind of pisses me off a little bit because my value is so like compact that I'd have to like break apart awesome pieces, and that makes me too sad. Like I have no depth in that league. All I have are good players. Like two guys get hurt and I'm boned. But more on to the point. Todd Gurley or Kyler Murray?
Todd Gurley.
Right? It still should be. And
I think it's funny that you wrote that we wrote Toddy. Toddy, yeah. Gurley. Whoops. That's awesome. I love it. That's what I'm going to call him from now on. Toddy Gurley. I love it.
And I mean, Tyler Lockett over Fitz and Sanders, right? Though, yes. I need to, like, what is Emmanuel Sanders? Even, right? Him and TT, what is going on? Why can they run?
So Sanders is a 31-year-old wide receiver coming off an Achilles tear. Still.
And so is Demaryius Thomas, who caught like 7 for 70-something in a touchdown.
And got cut.
And re-signed.
He did re-sign. I saw that. Yeah, I you know, I'm staying away from the Achilles stuff.
Let's put this out there. This trade is Kyler Murray and Tyler Lockett for Todd Gurley. And right. That's just old people dumping.
Right? Yeah, right.
So hopefully the guy getting Todd Gurley, that means they're competing and that could be some bi-week fill-ins.
Yeah.
So I do really like this trade because if I need to get young, I love getting Kyler Murray and Tyler Lockett. Those names are too similar, but they're different and it trips me up.
Yeah. So I'm coming around on Lockett a little bit, which is good. Here's the thing about this deal for me. If look, I've pounded the desk on Todd Gurley, right? Todd Gurley is who we think he is, or whatever. You know, I'm doing Denny Green here. If Gurley is Gurley of last year through 14 weeks, or the Gurley of 2017, right? If he's Todd freaking Gurley, I want
Toddy freaking Gurley.
That's hilarious. If he's Toddy freaking Gurley, I want him. I want him. Even with Kyler being a quarterback, even with Tyler Lockett being, you know, a wide receiver one, and you know, I mean, those are two really nice pieces. But if Todd Gurley is Todd freaking Gurley, then I want Todd Gurley. If he's not, if he's a shell of him former self, then the other side wins this deal hands down.
Oh, I mean, you can't play that if game right now. I mean, that's not really super fair.
Right. Right. I mean, I believe Gurley is going to come back and be Todd Gurley. So I voted Todd Gurley side in this deal. But I could see very easily the other side. You know, we get mid season and Todd Gurley has, you know, is averaging 10 carries a game, then, you know, then obviously I could see very easily the other side being
what
far ahead.
Do you think the difference between Todd Gurley and Kyler Murray is on the DLF trade analyzer?
So Kyler Murray is way overrated in the DLF trade analyzer, I believe. Or maybe not in the trade analyzer, but in the rankings, the DLF rankings, I think he's way too high. So I'd say Gurley is still ahead, but I would say it's not by a ton. I mean, I would say probably
all right, you're taking too long.
Yeah, 60, 70 points.
240 points.
Wow, really?
Kyler okay. Murray is worth 398. Todd Gurley is worth 631. We said that this trade breaks down to Gurley for Kyler and Lockett.
But
Gurley
Lockett
is 631. Kyler and Lockett, 621.
Wow. Well,
so, yeah. I mean, that really breaks down to a perfect trade.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy got his old man fill-ins for pretty much free because the 2021 third is kind of trash, but that's still that which is the basis of the trade, pretty spot on. So again, good job.
Yeah, these guys are good. Which league were both of these from?
I don't recall.
I'm pretty sure I know because I'm looking at it right now, but
I don't remember. Let's listener questions.
listener questions.
Okay, so we have two listener questions that are kind of similar, but I guess we'll just go one. At Beryl Joffrey wants to know early season targets for guys that start slow and you can get a frustration discount on. Now, did you actually pull up that strength of schedule thing?
So yes, I do have it. This is BS, man. I just took a sip of my adult beverage here. Mm-hmm. It must be amateur hour or something. I'm over here like wasting
party foul.
Yeah. It fizzed up. I know it's garbage. I'm ashamed.
All right. So anyways,
I'm good.
You ready to go?
I'm good. I'm ready.
Look at you. You're a professional. That's what you are.
That's right.
All right. So go talk.
So guys that are going to start slow.
Well, give us some good teams that have a bad first two, three games. Do you have that, something like that pulled up?
So Green Bay. They play Chicago. Oh, geez. It doesn't. Hang on one second. I'm trying to see. So they play Chicago week one. They play
we're in and you're gonna make me start editing.
Listen, they play Chicago week one, they play Minnesota week two, and Denver week three. Philly that's week rough. Four. Yeah.
That's also rough.
Yes. So
and then you buy that Aaron Jones, baby.
Yes, correct. Aaron Jones. If Aaron Rodgers gets off to a slower start, I think that's an opportunity to, you know, Devontae Adams.
You're not going to get a discount on Adams, but people might because I mean, there's a lot of people that think Rodgers is kind of done. So if you're not one of those people, you can get a very good discount on him.
Well,
like,
and
if
here's
you ever get Rodgers for one first, you should just go do that.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And here's the thing, the schedule definitely like, so the first 5 weeks are rough. Bears, Vikings, Broncos, Eagles, Cowboys is how they start. But then Detroit Lions, Raiders, Chiefs, which will be a shootout, Chargers, which again will probably be a pretty high scoring game, Panthers, bye week, and then Niners, Giants, Skins, and then they finish with the Bears, Vikings, and Lions. So like week 6 through 14 is juicy, but the first 5 weeks look a little bit challenging. So yeah, so Aaron Jones, I think, is a good target there. As long as he continues to get like the bulk of the work, and they don't decide to, you know, put Dexter Williams in there or Jamal Williams.
Why not get those two guys on the super cheap if you have the roster spots anyway? But
yeah, sure. Yeah.
Right, we're both on the Aaron Jones bandwagon.
Sure. Yep. So that's one.
One more.
I would also say, well, I think the Chiefs kind of have a, now, I mean, I wouldn't say that you're going to, I don't think you're going to, right, exactly. I don't think you're going to have a buy low window on the Chiefs. The other team, so let's see here. I think the Falcons are one, two, I think. I mean, I think, again, they're high
with their beginning schedule.
Yeah, so they have the Vikings and the Eagles weeks one and two. They do play the Colts week three, which is nice, and the Titans week four. Those are both very nice games. Then they got the Texans, Cardinals, Rams, Seahawks. So really, it doesn't look too bad after the first 2 weeks. I think the first 2 weeks, it might be a little bit of a slow start out of the gate. So maybe guys like, I mean, you're going to have, you know, again, the discounts aren't going to be on Julio Jones or, you know, but maybe a guy like Devonta Freeman, maybe a guy like Calvin Ridley, you know, you might be able to
like him so much.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. I like him a lot. But you know, it's early in the season and Mohamed Sanu has a couple big weeks and Calvin Ridley's like nowhere to be found and, right. Exactly. So, yeah. So those are a couple, yeah, those are a couple.
All right, that's good. Since I have not looked at a schedule at all, I can't really help with this conversation. The only thing I'll add is N'Keal Harry, because we just talked about him. Go yes. by him when Agreed. People get frustrated. At FL2 Drink Minimum, guys you want to target now before early success and guys you are watching that maybe have tough matchups or nagging injuries. All right, so we kind of covered that second part.
Right.
But who are some guys that you are looking to acquire before the season starts, like just get them on your roster?
Darius Geis everywhere.
Yeah,
I want all
good earlier than we thought he would.
I want all of the Darius Geis, and I know that the news is trending upward. I think Gruden came out today and said about you know, I would imagine he's going to handle the bulk of the carries. He said something like that today. So obviously it's swinging upward for Darius Geis. But like I drafted him today in all fairness, a redraft league, but I drafted him in, I think it was like the 63rd pick or something like that in a one quarterback league. Taking him there all day.
I have him in both of my redraft leagues. One of the leagues is a two keeper league, and I got him in the 8th or the 9th, which means if those two rounds were still pretty much full, it's like a 10th, 11th pick. Like, that's
right.
Nuts. This guy, like, he has workhorse potential easily. And don't get me wrong, I love Chris. The idea of Chris Thompson, that dude can't stay healthy.
No. Well, and I do like Thompson. I mean, I think the thing that is going to be frustrating about Geis, especially this year, I do think that Chris Thompson this season is still going to be in his normal role, third down, catch and passes, that type of thing. I think Darius Geis cuts into that significantly later into the season and into next year, if he stays healthy, obviously. You know, but I think both of those Washington run. It's funny, you know, I mean, everybody's really sleeping on that Washington offense, and I understand the concerns, but at the same time, I think there's opportunity based on where some of these guys are going in drafts. I think there's some opportunity there. Somebody in that offense is going to score some fantasy points. I think Geis is the most likely candidate in that regard. But like some of those rookie receivers, you know, I mean, Terry McLaurin and Kelvin Harmon and, you know, some of those guys, one of those guys is probably going to do better than we anticipate or better than his draft position, essentially. So
won't be Josh Doctson.
No, not gonna be Doctson anymore. Nope. Minnesota picked him up, I think.
Yeah, I just saw that.
Yep. So but yeah, so I love Darius Geis. That would be my That would be mine. I would try to. I'm trying to get him in as many places as possible, and I better hustle now, knowing that this is coming out in a day and a half.
No, this is going out like tomorrow morning.
I'm gonna be up late tonight.
I am coming around on Philip Lindsay. The more I talk to Broncos fans, the more it seems like this is going to be a run team with a good defense. And I love Royce, but I don't know. Like, I have Royce everywhere, so I'm buying Lindsay on the teams I don't have Royce on, because I'm not really a full backfield kind of guy. But like either of them, really, I'd be good with buying right now. Receiver-wise, I am all about Jarvis Landry, Allen Robinson, and Christian Kirk. I think we're kind of past the boat on Christian Kirk. My hope is that he didn't really play too much in the preseason, and the Cardinals didn't show what their offense is really going to be, that people aren't as hyped as they should be. Mm-hmm. But those are three guys that if I can get on my team, I think I want to. Do I think they're going to be wide receiver ones? I mean, probably not, but they are the solid wide receiver twos and threes that will bolster your team for the championship. I think they are very good players, and that's what I want.
Nice.
But I also threw them up in a little game of floater, sinker, pinch.
Ooh.
So, Brian, floater. Float that trade out there. Mm-hmm. Sinker, you drop him. Mm-hmm. Pinch, hold on nice and tight.
Yeah.
Landry, A-Rob, Christian Kirk. What you got?
I'm pinching Christian Kirk pretty easily. I think I will probably float Jarvis Landry. Because I'm a Penn State guy, and I'm gonna drop Allen, or I'm sorry, I'm going to sink Allen Robinson. That's like disgraceful. I don't even know if I can do that.
You cannot get anything for Jarvis Landry right now, by the way, which is why I kind of want to go buy him in places.
Even with the hype of the Browns offense,
maybe it's a little. It might. I haven't tried recently, and maybe it's a little differently now with Duke gone, but. Yeah, no, Landry, you were lucky to get like a late first for him. It's ridiculous.
So who are you? Go ahead.
I got it. Don't worry. I've done this podcasting thing before.
Are you sure? It's been a while. I just want to make sure.
It has been a while. It absolutely has. I appreciate you pointing that out. Thank you, Brian.
No worries.
I think I'm floating Christian Kirk right now, because I think but on the three of them, the Cliff Kingsbury offense, he's the heir apparent to old crotchety old man Larry Fitzgerald, bringing that back. I think he probably has the most value right now. I think A-Rob is going to be awesome. I really, really do. He was their target guy at the end of the season last year. He was coming back from an ACL. He was on a first year of a new offense. And he was getting those targets. I am all about Allen Robinson. I have been snagging him up anywhere I could this offseason. Which unfortunately leaves me to drop Jarvis Landry. That's the guy. Which, again, it makes me sad, because I do kind of want to go buy him in other places, but that's not the game we're playing right now.
Mm-hmm.
I do love having Allen Robinson as my wide receiver three on a team. And mm-hmm. You don't need to pay more than those prices for him right now, because everyone is so low on him.
Yeah. So that's interesting that you love Allen Robinson. I just so happen to own him in Trade Addicts too. Yeah.
Trades.
Here's the problem though.
What?
You don't like to do position for position trades.
That's stupid. Yeah.
And
look, I gave you Nick Chubb. It's only smart for you to get Kareem Hunt. So I'll give you Kareem Hunt for Allen Robinson. I almost said it with a straight face.
Oh, man. You, Lamar Miller hurt you. That injury hurt you in that league.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with this team. I also have Trevion Williams and Robbie Anderson. Mm-hmm. So, not Robbie. Oh, I do have Robbie Anderson, but
CJ.
Words blank.
Hmm.
All right, we're not doing this now. Let's hit this last question.
Yeah.
We learned something new today.
We did.
You explain this because you're the one that actually brought it to me. What happened?
What did we learn?
That we can get.
I'm just messing with you.
I was about to say, no, don't feel my role. I know it's been a while, but don't. I'm the tired guy, not you. Even though you've been like rubbing your eyes for the past 20 minutes.
I have. It's not, I'm not tired. I have severe allergies. True story. Anyways, yeah. So apparently we can receive like email messages through the DLF help desk. Which
and it's
is
funny because you point this out and then it made me remember we have an email address that I think I literally have never given out.
Yeah. So we should definitely give that out. Well, maybe. Maybe we shouldn't.
We'll do that at the end of the show. But let's keep talking about this.
Yeah. So anyways, we received an email through the DynastyLeagueFootball.com help desk. And this is from our friend Grant Schubert. And he asked us to analyze his trade. Or a trade. I don't know if this is actually his trade or if this is just a trade that happened in one of his leagues.
Very neutral, which, you know, I guess is the smart thing for us not to like lean towards the guy who asking because we know that they like us.
Yeah. Yeah. So, right.
That going.
Right. So this is a trade that we're going to go over. And it's a pretty big deal just in terms of the number of players. I believe there's 10 players involved in this deal. So five on each side, which is crazy. That's a nice big one. But 10-team league. It's a standard league, so no PPR, no premiums, and it's two quarterback. And the deal was Patrick Mahomes, Royce Freeman, Philip Lindsay, Robbie Anderson, and N'Keal Harry for Russell Wilson, Nick Chubb, Chris Godwin, Michael Gallup, and Latavius Murray.
Yeah, I want the Russell Wilson side.
Yeah,
me and too. Here. Even that's with me saying that I'm afraid of Russell Wilson. Here's the thing. 10 teams makes starting quarterbacks a little less valuable. Two QBs is a little tough because you absolutely need that third. Otherwise, you're taking a zero for bye weeks, which I don't know. The idea of a two QB league is terrifying to me. But I mean, it's really the ancillary pieces of this trade that completely lead me towards the Russell Wilson side. I don't think I would trade Nick Chubb for Royce Freeman, Philip Lindsay, Robbie Anderson, and N'Keal Harry. I mean, I think Chubb is worth more than all of that, especially in a 10-team league that is not PPR, which means running backs are even more valuable. And, you know, Mahomes is the second coming and all of who was like the best fantasy quarterback ever. I don't know. My brain is a Peyton Manning, you know, Tom Brady, whatever, call him whoever you want. I mean, I think you get, what was it? I think it was JJ Zacharyson say it was only like a 5 points per game difference between him and like the quarterback 10 Mahomes. So Russell Wilson was about the quarterback 10 to 12. So you're getting talking about 5 points per game, but you're also getting Nick Chubb, who will give you, you know, most games, probably more than that over the rest of those guys. And in a 10 team league, I'm not excited to be starting Robbie Anderson or especially this year, N'Keal Harry. So I think the value just completely lays on the Russell Wilson side. And we still haven't talked about Chris Godwin, who takes a bit of a hit because of the standard, but we still expect him to be very good in wide receiver rankings. Gallup, who's a guy you love, and Lat Murray, who, I mean, let's face it, could walk into amazing work just because of where he is. So in a 2QB league, I love getting Mahomes. And if my team is just, I can't imagine my team being so good that I could lose Russell Wilson, Nick Chubb, Chris Godwin, and just be super okay about it. But if I somehow can and get Patrick Mahomes, then sure, that's awesome. But I still think I side with the Russell Wilson side after all of that.
Yeah, I do too. I'm with you. I think, you know, all of the pieces, I think, on the on that side. I mean, the difference between Wilson and Mahomes for me is, I mean, I still think Russell Wilson is a top 5 to 7 quarterback. Even with a run first offense and receivers that are, I mean, obviously Tyler Lockett, but then after that, you know, it kind of deteriorates from there, and I'll probably get
you talk about John Ursua.
Jake's gonna come after me with DK. I still love Russell Wilson, and again, it's just like it's exactly what you said, and I feel the exact same way. Nick Chubb, I would want over all of the rest of those pieces. So you're essentially getting Chris Godwin, Michael Gallup, and Latavius Murray for free. And I think all three of those pieces have pretty nice value in a standard league. Murray, I mean, in a standard league especially, I mean, that guy's got double-digit TD upside. So,
and it's not like hot takey upside.
No.
It's like very, very realistic.
Right. Right. So, I mean, I think I think the value is definitely on that side. Now, again, it's like you said, in a 2QB, having Mahomes is a heck of a start to your starting roster, right? So, if that team is stacked and the only position that you're, you know, struggling at is quarterback, although you're probably not struggling with Russell Wilson at your quarterback. But anyways, if you're going after Mahomes, I think.
Yeah, but let's put it this way. Let's say you are a trade addict and the only thing you can do is upgrade your quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's kind of what you do. But I can't imagine feeling good about losing Nick Chubb and only getting in Royce and Lindsey, which, though I did say I am buying them, I do also say I just don't like owning full backfields. To me, You're just capping yourself, because I'm always the guy that will start the wrong one. Or, you know, Some random third dude's going to come in. Like, this is going to be the Theo Riddick's year. He's coming off the IR and he's stealing. He's going to be the new workhorse. That's why I don't own backfields.
It is not going to be Theo Riddick, just FYI. But your point stands.
Okay. Speaking of point standing, that doesn't really go anywhere or anything. But that does lead me to say, I'm going to use both of them this time. It is the end of the show sheet, so that's the end of their show, and I am tired.
Yeah.
So I fumbled, but it's still a bit of a transition. I'll take it.
Hey, this was fun, man. It feels really good to be back together and back doing this thing. I mean, the other thing, you know, we were talking before we came on and stuff, it hasn't really been that long, but it feels like it because
it
we
does.
Just got
it
really so
absolutely does feel like it.
We just got so used to, I mean, every Monday night or every Tuesday night, depending on, you know, the week, we were recording, and you know, when you miss a couple of those, it feels like a long time. So it feels good to be back. I'm glad to do this and do this with you, and it was fun. It was fun tonight.
Yes. Yeah. You're all right. Next time, just don't do the Steelers stuff and maybe we'll be better.
No promises.
All right. So let us get out our parting shots. Patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. Get part of the Cool Kids Club group chat on GroupMe. You could watch us record, and it is uncensored if I ever actually feel like editing, which I'm probably not going to do this episode because I think we did all right. Towards the end, there was a couple of silences, but, you know, I don't care enough. So sorry. Like, I know there's a lot of people like, silences are the worst things. I turn them off when that happens. Yeah, so sorry. You're going to hit that hour mark and just want to turn this off. But you're not listening to this anyway, so it don't matter. So yeah, that would be awesome. We'd appreciate it. Thank you. FFpodshirts.storeenvy.com. We have Trade Addicts t-shirts and stickers. We have Superflex Super Show shirts and stickers. We have Dynasty Diagnostic shirts and stickers.
Pop the hood.
Now, I can't necessarily show you people the back of my laptop while recording with my laptop, but I started slapping stickers on the back of there and I'm freaking loving it.
It looks amazing.
I got the Superflex Super Show one where it has like the flexing arms outside of the logo, and I love it. I'm such a fan of that logo, and it makes me so angry that it makes me like a Superman-esque logo, because Team Batman, yo. So yeah, go buy some shirts, buy some stickers. We may have one other pod coming on soon, but you know, we call that a tease. Not sure yet. Wristbands. Buy some wristbands. Trade Addicts Pod wristbands in our wonderful neon green and navy blue-ish colors. $5 DM at Brian Hart FF, and $2 for every bracelet sale goes to Fantasy Cares. Did I miss something?
I don't think so. I think that's pretty much it. Our patrons, we appreciate you. We love you.
Go listen to Brian on Superflex Super Show.
Yay!
Yeah. All right, that's enough about you. Good night, Brian.
Night out, Al. That was awesome.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast. Please remember to follow our host at Dynasty Outhouse and at Brian Bar FF. And follow the pod at Trade Addict Pod. Please review, subscribe, and rate the podcast. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.